Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And this one is for week beginning at October 12th, 2015 through October 18th, 2015. And this was a really good week. If my voice sounds really weird, it's like I got the sinus infection and I finally went to the doctor and got antibiotics, but it's still having trouble talking, or else I would have recorded this episode a long time ago. And I'm still having trouble with my voice, and I don't know when it's gonna come back. So if I pause here and there, it's because I would drink water. It's because my voice isn't all there. So a lot of interesting things have happened over the course of a week or two. It's I go to this comic shop called Ed's Cards and Comics in Colorado Springs, and he gets a lot. He's like the only shop that I know of that gets in huge collections of old comics, and that's why I go there a lot. Is, you know, I buy most of my DCs there, at least the core titles, and then I get the rest through DCBS. But he had a guy who had a storage locker, and who owns a storage unit, you know, like all the lockers. And some guy defaulted on his storage locker and had 20 boxes worth of comics. And I got to go through them with Ed, and it was a pretty cool experience because a lot of the books that I saw were amazing. What I did pick up so far out of the collection is minimal, but I have a box there that I kind of have like on layaway, if you will, like Kmart, and I'm going to pay towards them. But right now I have like Showcase Aquaman 33, and I'm going to get 30, and I have Aquaman number 2, Silver Age, second Silver Age, you know, of his title. And I believe the Showcase is his 5th, as his first appearances in Adventure Comics. So I got those, and I was real happy to get those. And then as I was going in one day, just to get my comics on Wednesday, I ran into another box of Flash and Green Lantern comics. And they were absolutely amazing and gorgeous, and I loved them. And I want them all. But it's just not financially possible to get all of them. But the one that I did get at an incredibly discounted rate, and it's a VG copy of A Flash of Two Worlds, and it's just so weird that the same week that I got it was the same week that The Flash of Two Worlds aired on the Flash TV show. So it's bizarre. I got it at a really, really good price. You know, what I could sell it for right now, I would double it already. I had to get it. And then the other book I got was the Green Lantern Tattooed Man. I've always loved that cover. You know, like Green Lantern's coming through the window and the Tattooed Man has like a rocket ship going after him or something like that. It's a really cool cover. And he also had in that collection like old GLA, like there's some really single digit Justice League of America that I need, but they were just way too expensive. And then the other things that he had was Green Lantern number 1 and Green Lantern number 2. There's so many key issues there, I just can't even. Like, he sold first appearance of Wolverine. He had so many first appearances, and there was a lot of hardcore collectors in there that day that I was there. And he must have made back at least $5,000 on day one and two. So he's halfway to making his money, and he's got a lot more comics to sell. So it was a really cool experience, and I want so many more of those books, but I've told myself I have this box, and once I pay it off, then I'll start looking at more stuff, but I'm not going to add anything else to the box. So that was a cool experience. The other thing I want to talk about is, this is kind of like old news, but there was a lot of people complaining about the Superman image that Frank Miller put out I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. It's very cool artwork. The Superman and Batman image. The Superman doesn't look any different than he did in the second Batman Strikes Back series, as I'm reading it again now. And the Atom was in it. Superman was in it. And I really don't understand all the hate that people have to put out there. The other topic I want to talk about is, before I get into the list, is I lost my train of thought there for a second, but I wanted to talk about what comic book noise. Derek Coward put out an episode, and I listened to it. And I don't always agree with what he has to say, but for this one, I really did agree. He was talking about Marvel Comics getting back the FF, you know, rights. There was a rumor about it a week or two ago, and it turned out to just be that they're not giving, Fox is not giving up the Fantastic Four rights. But he made a good point. If Marvel had the FF to start off with, if they had the X-Men, if they had Spider-Man, we would never see movies like Thor, Captain America, you know, movies like that. They would be focusing on all the other A-list properties. You know, we would have never, ever in our my wildest dreams seen a Guardians of the Galaxy movie or Ant-Man. So I guess what I want to say to that is I hope that Fox keeps those and, you know, 20th Century Fox keeps the X-Men and Sony keeps Spider-Man and all that. Because if they keep them, that forces Marvel to dig into the well. And that's what I want to see. I want to see all the other stuff. And I know if they do get the other properties back, we won't get to see other movies like Black Panther or Inhumans. So I am really happy about that. So I think Derek made a really good point there, and I totally agree with it. We would have never seen a Guardians of the Galaxy movie or Ant-Man, and those movies were great. So, yeah, that was pretty much some items that I just wanted to discuss. And now I'll get into my list. I'm sorry, I apologize for my voice, and I don't know when it'll return. And I was so sick this past week. It's like I regressed once I started taking the antibiotics. My nose started running, and it was all inside of my face before. But now that it's starting to drain, I have no voice. And I have to drink a lot of water to just try to keep it. So if I take a sip here and there, it's because I don't want to lose my voice. So, like always, this is using the Netflix rating. 5 is I love it. 4 is I really like it. 3 is I like it. 2 is I did not like it. 1 is I hated it. And we're going to start. You'll probably say, man, Mike has never had a 2 or 1 out of 5. Well, this week I did. And it surprised the hell out of me because I was in the sci-fi mood. So a lot of the books that I read were in the sci-fi genre. And they were catching up on other series, but, the series that I heard so much acclaim for another podcast was Alien Legion, as a Marvel epic title, I believe. I had never, ever read this thing, ever. And I thought, you know, Titan solicited an Alien Legion to Chuck Dixon and Larry Stroman. And I was like, I love Chuck Dixon. There's nothing that he does that I don't like. And Larry Stroman, I remembered his art from X-Factor with Strong Guy and Polaris and Havoc and when they were working for the government. And I absolutely loved his art. And I said, man, you know, this is probably going to be cool. I'm going to get introduced to characters I've never seen before. And it's going to be sci-fi, which I was in the mood for. So I grabbed issues 1 through 4 out of there, and this was Alien Legion on Civil War by Titan Comics. I read number 1 and I was so disappointed. It was like I didn't get to know any of the characters. The characters were only described through like who's who pages. They weren't described in the story at all. It was like I was thrown into a war that I didn't even know why it existed. It was a war of aliens and, you know, like a government, and it was the Alien Legion fighting them, and I didn't get to know any of the characters, and I read one, and I was like, man, I didn't like this book. Even though the art, I think, the covers were amazing, the art stood up. The story was so bad, in my opinion, to a new reader. Like, maybe if I had read Alien Legion and I already knew all these characters, I would feel better about the book. But I have never read Alien Legion. I didn't know any of these characters, nor did I leave after four issues and know any of the characters. Or none of them were memorable because they were all just fighting in this battle. You never got to know about their personalities. You just got thrown into this battle, and that's all it was. And it just was a rough read, and I didn't like it. So I gave it a 2 out of 5, starting at the bottom. It's very rare for me not to enjoy a book. And the only thing that really kept me going is the art. I did like the art. But I don't think it helped me understand the story that much, just because the story was just so all over the place. It was like if you bought an issue of Omega Man and just jumped right in and didn't know any of the characters, you would feel a little lost. But that was Alien Legion. Man, I should have recorded this last week when I had my voice, but I just got so sick I couldn't do it. Now we go at the 3 out of 5. We have a Xenoscope. A lot of the Xenoscopes for me fall in the 3 out of 5. Or the 4 out of 5s. This was Grim Fairy Tales Presents Cinderella One Shot. It's my first reading of the Cinderella character. And I think it would have been a higher reading if I just understood the storyline better. In other words, what got me here. But I thought the story was really interesting. And it was good enough that made me want to read more Cinderella. But it was weird because it was like the way Cinderella was treating her stepsisters and stuff. It was almost like she was the evil one. And I figured in the storyline, they were really rotten to her. You know, her stepmother and her evil stepsisters were really rotten to her. So now she's getting her revenge. But if you didn't read those stories, you wouldn't know that. But it was a pretty solid story, and the art was nice. And I will read another Cinderella miniseries if they did choose to do one. The next one I read was for Retrocast, and I described it on there, but it was Archie Meets the Punisher. It was a joint publication between Archie Comics and Marvel Comics, and it started out as a joke. They didn't think that it was like one of those things like you're like, what if we team up Archie with Punisher? And, you know, you're laughing your ass off with your buddies and stuff, and it actually became a reality when they sent over a script over to Marvel Comics, and all the editors there loved it. They said, go ahead and put it out. I don't know what like the sales figures are, but I imagine it was a really good seller for Archie to team up with a Marvel character, especially in the direct market. I think Archie does a little bit better outside of the direct market, like selling to grocery stores, their digests and such. But this one was probably a pretty good seller for them, and it was kind of like Punisher going after a character that looked exactly like Archie, and he actually looked like Golden Age Archie, and he was a rotten dude, and he went to Riverdale to corrupt Riverdale, and he hooked up with Veronica, because Veronica was mad at Archie, because Archie dodged the super soaker of her nephew. And it hit Veronica, and she was pissed. So she says, I'll go to the dance with somebody else. So she ended up going with this other guy that looked exactly like Archie, but he was a bad guy. And then a lot of criminals wanted to kill this other bad guy, too, because he was their competition. So it was hijinks ensued, and Archie was usually with Jughead, and at the end of it, Archie was like, you know, he thought he helped the Punisher, and he's like, can I have a signal watch? You know, like Superman has a signal watch. But it was highly entertaining. I was glad it was one issue, because I don't, that's all it needed to be. But it was a fun issue, and it was a weird team up that you would never in your lifetime think would happen. Now we go to the 4 out of 5s. It was a Mega Man number 4, volume 1. I also read this for Retrocast and got into it. But this was a battle between Primus and Tigor. It was a really bloodfested as they fought for the leadership of the Omega Men. And Callista, we thought was dead in the previous issue, but she got zapped by this creature who took her form and personality, but Callista ended up living. So it was a really good issue. I really enjoyed that Omega Man issue, volume 1. The next one was the brand new Invincible Iron Man that launched out of Secret Wars as Brian Michael Bendis. And I really, really, really enjoyed the issue. I thought the art was nice. I thought the story was very interesting. You know, he made Tony feel like Tony. And it had a villain of Madame Mask, which I've always enjoyed her character. And it had another love interest that Tony might hook up with. But this woman was very, very interesting, as she had discovered a very, very interesting cure. And I don't want to spoil it because it's a fairly new book. But I enjoyed it quite a bit. Invincible Iron Man from Marvel Comics, number 1. That was a 4 out of 5. So Mega Man was a 4 out of 5. And Invincible Iron Man was a 4 out of 5. Invincible Iron Man, Volume 3, I believe it is. So the next one is, I've been very caught up in Aquaman. You've heard me talk about Aquaman lately. In the last episode, I think, or the episode before that, I said, man, this Aquaman was a really good story. Because it came to like a climax, and Aquaman did something to... He slept with somebody that he thought was Mera. Let's just say that. And it was really interesting. Well, this Aquaman, I had jumped on Aquaman and said, I want to keep up after Convergence, because I was all caught up on Convergence and then 52. And the thing is I can't keep caught up. And the reason is because I want to read so much other stuff and I want to be in the mood for it. So I was in the mood for Aquaman, so the Maelstrom storyline I hadn't read. So I wanted to read it, and I'm glad I read it. The art was by Paul Pelletier, and the story was by Jeff Parker. I'm going to take another swig of water here because I'm losing my voice. So the Aquaman went to another dimension. He found out his mother was alive, and she ends up trying to kill him, and he got in a fight with Gorilla Grodd, which was really cool because they ended up in Gorilla City when they went through this portal trying to find his mom. And there was just a really good storyline with throwbacks to Aquaman number 1 and a lot of cool things. And it was a good wrap-up story before Convergence started. I really enjoyed Maelstrom. The next one's a 4 out of 5. I almost feel like it's almost a 5 out of 5, but it was from Windjammer Acclaim, and it's reprinting First Comics Star Slayer 1-4. The only difference is these are director's cuts. Windjammer is a kind of a creator owned Acclaim project, like when Acclaim owned Valiant. And they reprinted, actually recolored and remastered some of the art and added some additional story to Star Slayer 1-4. I had never read Star Slayer, but I am a huge Mike Grell fan. I mean, I love Mike Grell. He's got to be in my top 5 artists of all time. and I've met him personally. I have a couple commissions of his warlord. I have Tara and Shakira and Warlord, and I love his art. Like, his art and his stories are just so good. And if you ever can see him in a panel, his stories are so interesting. Like, you're engaged in the panels that he is. I saw him at Denver Comic Con. He was actually in Baltimore this year, because I've seen him before and he was so busy at Baltimore. I didn't go talk to him, but I should have. These Star Slayers were amazing, and I didn't know what to expect. But it is about a guy who's like he has a loving wife and a son, and he's in Roman times, and they get invaded by the Romans, and this female character actually ports him to the spaceship right before his death. And he's a badass fighter. He was taking on hundreds of Romans. But he wants to go back to his wife. And she says, "You can't do that. You know, you were on the brink of death. And that's why I was able to pull you. And I need your help to get this artifact." It was a really cool story. The first story was like a canteen, like a spaceport, where they go into spaceport. Issues 2 and 3 were kind of like flashbacks and told his backstory, and which was really cool. And then 4 kind of picked up after Earth was invaded by Venus people, and because the sun was getting ready to, you know, supernova, it was heating, and the solar flares actually destroyed Mercury and Venus, and then we're on the way to destroy Mars and Earth. And what the Venus guys decided to do was invade Earth, but before they could invade Earth, the sun blew up and destroyed all their ships. But it is an amazing story. I highly recommend Star Slayer. You don't have to get the director's cut, but you can look for First Comics. You should be able to find them in a dollar bin if you have access to a good dollar bin. Or you can look for these Windjammer Acclaim ones, which are probably a little more rare just because of the amount published, but they would be really cheap as well. They probably could get it from like mycomicshop.com. That's where I got them a couple years ago. Next was the Star Wars Dark Horse. So I said I was in the sci-fi. So there you got the sci-fi with the Omega Men. You got the sci-fi with Star Slayer, and then I read more Star Wars. I'm pretty caught up with the Marvel Star Wars. I'm about an issue or two behind on all the titles. I haven't read Chewbacca yet, and I've been really enjoying it. Even Shattered Empire is in this list. I absolutely love it. But I said, you know what? I never finished Brian Wood's story in Dark Horse, as I was really enjoying that. And I picked up Brian Wood's Star Wars issues 12 through 20. And they were all 4s out of 5s. I was absolutely in love with the story. It pretty much takes place after they destroy Star Destroyer. I mean, not Star Destroyer. The Death Star. And they're kind of on the run from the Empire. They're trying to find a new home base. And they eventually do find a new home base. But Princess Leia has to marry the prince of this. And they're getting set up by one of the prince's right-hand man so they can be betrayed, kind of like Lando originally betrayed Solo and Leia on Cloud City. But there was so much more to the story, and it was really, really good exploration. There was a lot of Wedge in there, which I really like, because he's like the very disciplined X-Wing fighter, and he's trying to teach Luke. And Luke is like, he's like the dude that's willing, like Tom Cruise in Top Gun. He wants to do all this crazy shit. And at one point, Wedge has to bench him and says, you know, you don't listen to my command, you're going to go sit on the bench. And Luke goes and pouts and whines and whines, and he finally understands that Wedge was right. But there's so much more other stuff, like Darth Vader rebelling against the Emperor, which we're seeing in the Marvel release. So none of this is in canon anymore, but it was in canon. And what Dark Horse did really well is they kept timelines of all their books in the Star Wars, and it was all approved by Lucasfilms at the time that the Dark Horse books were out. So this was in canon until Disney acquired Lucasfilms, and then it went back over to Marvel from Dark Horse. But if you have Marvel Unlimited, I believe these books are out there. You should highly go read them. I highly recommend them. They're very good stories. The next one that almost made a 5 out of 5 is me and Bill Bomer talked about on Geek Brunch was Star Spangled War Stories by Palmiotti and Gray with art by Hamilton and covers by Darwin Cook. What a phenomenal story. It was so good. Anybody that loves zombies and anybody that loves like intrigue and suspense, and it's kind of like there was this it's like a Waco, Texas incident but these guys are in like a spa and they have like missile silos underneath there, and what they want to do is kind of destroy society so they can rebuild it, almost like a Ra's al Ghul kind of concept. And as there are two agents, one is a female blonde agent. She's a really cool character. She goes undercover and infiltrates the organization while G.I. Zombie has to fight from the outside in. And they hire some organization to develop this chemical that will turn people into zombies, and it's based on G.I. Zombie's blood. So they launch it into a small town, and it infects everything. And what you see is it infects animals, it infects people. And Gravedigger is a longtime DC war hero. He's in this book. And him and his organization have to go contain this. And there's just so much intrigue, so much suspense. The female agent is awesome. It gives some backstory about G.I. Zombie. I wish this was an ongoing. I loved the two characters they introduced. It was just so good. I highly recommend it if you can pick up the trade. It has 8 issues plus a Future's End. Nobody ordered this. Of course, I ordered all the DCs, so I never miss out on these true gems. Plus, it's Palmiotti and Gray, man. They don't write anything bad. They really don't. They're so good. Now we get into the 5 out of 5s, and I'm getting really tired with my voice. So you probably are too. But no surprise, Star of Number 5. The issue before The Book Goes on Hiatus by Brian Wood. It's from Image Comics. And it was phenomenal. It takes place like the other one. It continues the storyline where they actually have to invade other kitchens. So they have, in the last issue, they had to make an invasion of a kitchen to do the appetizers. And this one, they had to do the main course and go up in competition. And his wife is out to get him. You know, she's like the producer of Starve. And one of the hosts actually tells him, you know, your wife wants you dead, blah, blah, blah. And then he's also forming this bond with his daughter. It's a really amazing book. Another book that no one's buying, but I know that the people that are buying it are absolutely loving it. Me and Bill on Geek Brunch love it. I know that the two guys on Comics for Fun and Profit love it. Phenomenal book. I know the Comics Therapy people love it. So it's like a really good book that I highly, highly recommend. And the next one is I finally got around to finish. I was in the Palmiotti and Gray mood to finishing the New 52 All-Star Western. And I just have to say I love Jonah Hex and Tallulah Black. What they did with these characters is amazing. I highly recommend all 35 titles, all 35 issues, plus all the issues that were pre-New 52 by Palmiotti and Gray. Those were more done in one, whereas the New 52 one was more like sequential storytelling. But it was phenomenal. We had Jonah Hex go into, you know, the present. Well, actually, it was in the past with Arkham Asylums, Arkham, you know, like a doctor of the past. And they would go on adventures in Gotham in the Wild Wild West. And then he ended up going into the future, and he had run-ins with a lot of DC superheroes in the current time. And that's where he actually got face surgery, so his face was repaired. And he ended up going back in time, thanks to Booster Gold. And he met up with Tallulah, and this was like the final arc, and they almost died together. And it has a really warm-hearted ending, as I love these two characters. They are fit for each other. And Tallulah is like the female Hex. They are one and the same. And I love Tallulah. She is marked up. She was beaten, sexually abused. Her face is scarred worse than Hex's, because Hex has that like burn mark across his lip. And his eyes fucked up. But her whole body is fucked up. So what an amazing story. And it had artwork on the final issue by Darwin Cook. What more can you say? Wonderful story. And then 5 out of 5, this one brought me to tears. I finally finished Matt Kent. You guys know I love Matt Kent. I had the Matt Kent covers of Rebel Heist 3 through 4, that one was focused on Chewbacca, and that one was so good, so damn good. You see Chewbacca through a genetically enhanced stormtrooper who's verbalizing what Chewbacca is, because Chewbacca had to capture this stormtrooper with the DNA. And all the stories are linked. Like, the first story featured Han, the second story featured Leia, third story featured Chewbacca, fourth story featured Luke. And it just, issue 4 was told through the eyes of a bounty hunter, a mercenary that was hired by Darth Vader to follow Luke Skywalker and find it to lead him back to the rebellion. And he ended up turning into a good guy because he saw the actions of the rebels. But what a fucking amazing storyline. I mean, there's just some words in there where that stormtrooper's describing Chewbacca, and it literally brought me to tears. And I was like, I'm glad Barb isn't watching me read this, because she'd say, why the fuck are you crying about a goddamn comic book? But I love you, Matt Kent. You'll never hear this podcast, but man, your words are just so perfect for everything that you write, especially for, you know, like well-known properties. I hear the voice. It's amazing. That wraps up the comics for last week. And again, the 5 out of 5s were Star Wars Rebel Heist, All-Star Western 33 through 34, Rebel Heist 3 through 4, and Star Wars 5. The 4 out of 5s were Star-Spangled War Stories, Star Wars The Dark Horse Volume 2, 12 through 20, Star Slayer from Acclaim 1 through 4, Aquaman 36 through 40, Invincible Iron Man number 1, the brand new one, and Omega Man number 4, volume 1. 3 out of 5s were Archie Meets Punisher number 1, Grim Fairy Tales Presents Cinderella One Shot number 1, and the 2 out of 5s for me were Alien Legion Uncivil War from Titan Comics 1 through 4. The breakout was there were 4 Acclaim comics, 1 Archie / Marvel comic, 9 Dark Horse comics, 15 DC comics, 3 Marvel comics, 1 Zenoscope comic, and 4 Titan comics, for a total of 37 comics. Thank you for listening, and please leave feedback as I will read them in these episodes. I had got a... let me see if I can get to it real quick. I had got a comment for one of the, for actually all the episodes. And I'll see if I could get there and just say what the comment was. Here we go. If everything clicks and works. It was from Tim. And I don't know if this is Tim. Terrell, but because I don't remember his user account, but it was I don't want to say his email because he might not want me to say it. But he says, I listen to the show every episode so far, and I really like it. So I appreciate any feedback that anybody gives. You can leave feedback on geekbrunchpodcast.com, or you can go to the Facebook Geek Brunch with spaces in between Geek Brunch Podcast, and there'll be an episode thread there. You can leave comments there. You can send me email at mike@comeupwithnoise.com. You can leave an iTunes review, which I'd really appreciate, by going into iTunes if you have it, and search for Geek Brunch Podcast, and then leave an iTunes review under that podcast name for Mike M's Weekly Reads, and let me know you enjoy it. That's it for this week, and I hope to have my voice back next week. It'll probably be a small week because I was so sick, and so far I've only read one comic book that I'll have to talk about next week. And I have relatives coming in. I have family actually coming in this weekend, so I don't know how many comics I'll get to read, but it'll probably be about 10. So you all have a good day, and I'm glad. Thank you for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. Thank you so much for putting up with my voice. And all the clearing my throat and the sips of water. I appreciate your time, and I hope you enjoyed it. Talk to you soon. Bye.